Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why is baptism so important? Is my message today. Well, to be flippant, it's a day we get a bath in the name of the Lord, right? But are we saved by baptism? Good question, isn't it? We believe that the Bible teaches that a person is saved by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 5, 2 and 3. That's exactly where it comes from. Now, the Bible tells us that such faith comes to us through hearing. And that's in Romans 10, verse 17. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So through the hearing, it's kindled in our hearts. Now, Jesus tells us that baptism is water used together with the Word of God. And that's in Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. So because of this command of Jesus, we believe that baptism is one of the most miraculous means of grace. Means of grace. I'll talk about that in a minute. That God strengthens what is in our hearts. The gift of faith he creates in us. We believe that we have means of grace. This is one. This is another. Normally I have a Bible up there. That's the third. Anything that speaks to us of God is a means of grace. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Dean, that was awful. Awfully funny. Okay, the Bible tells us that we need to be born again. Because you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? All right, so we believe baptism is a conversion and a regeneration. That's where our born again comes from. It's from that the saving waters of life. Make sense?
Yes.
I'll get even with you for this one. I will. The Bible tells us there's three ways that we can be baptized. Okay? Water. What else?
Word.
Fire. Okay? So it doesn't always have to be in this manner, does it? But is it important? Well, so what's more important, water or the Word? But there's one that's more important than the other. Which one is it? The Word of God. Okay? And the reason I'm going, I almost made it, but I can't. A few years ago, I was in Texas at Walmart, doing my visitations, talked to a very nice lady, Christian lady, and she told me her baptism was not valid. And I said, why? Well, she said, my elbow was out of the water and the pastor told me it wouldn't take. You know, it's one of those things. We all have crosses to bear, but, you know, when you get somebody that's in a position of authority, it's like the pastor tells parishioners that the only true Bible is the King James because it's the one that Jesus used. That's come back to me, too. You know, it's one of those things. Come on. Let's use our heads here. Is her baptism valid?
Yes.
Yes, because it was done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. Well, if that's the case, how much water do we need? I mean, is hers not valid because her elbow's out of it? What if it was only halfway? What if you've ever seen pictures of the River Jordan, sometimes it's only 6 inches deep. All right, so if your feet are the only things in there, is it valid or not? Yes. You know, and so when we look at things here, you know, in baptism as being sprinkled, how much water do you need? The Bible tells us some, okay? But the thing is, can you be fully immersed? Sure you can. Okay? In fact, Luther believed in full immersion baptism, but the churches weren't set up that way. So what do? You make it work, don't you? Okay. Now, I got to share a thing with you. When I was in Fort Wayne, they just finished building a brand new Roman Catholic church, St. Vincent de Paul. No, they didn't have a store in it.
Makes sense.
But one of the things about that church is when you walk into the narthex is that meeting area in front of the sanctuary. They have a beautiful, huge, full immersion baptismal font in a Catholic church. Because that's part of it too. No, but they actually have a thing for infants for their head. It's the Bible does tell us it should be running cold water, even though we made this warm today. Okay. But they have a little thing that it goes into on the side for infants, so they can do that. You know, it's one of those, I was impressed. If you want to see pictures of this church, just look up St. Vincent de Paul in Fort Wayne. They have a chapel that's all stained glass that are all pictures of roses. It's called the Rose Chapel. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in. We actually, when I was at seminary, went over and visited that church because it's beautiful. I wouldn't look and see how much money it cost to build it, but it's beautiful. So how was Jesus baptized? Well, stop and think with the word and with the water. Now, here's one of the things. I want to read this to you. You know, there are so many miracles that are in this, but there's one we never think of. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. No, he didn't stand up. God lifted him out of the water. And he lifted him out of the water so his raiment could glow, one of the other gospels tells us. And the Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon him. I mean, that's pretty specific in terms of the picture. We can actually see that. Probably quite a few. You know, if we would see a miracle like that today, I think most of us would be scared. Even though we believe in God, you know, we don't expect to see him actually working in our midst. Like Bev, you know, she's experiencing it. Well, so what's important? Well, the word. But we know that fire can baptize too. Now, why, if you can be brought to Christ and baptized just through the word, why do you need water? Well, there was a book that the apostles wrote in 60 AD. It's called the Didache, which in English is teachings. All right, the apostles sat down and wrote this out. And in it, they said you can be baptized through fire, water, and the word. But if you're baptized by the word, you need to reinforce it with baptism by water. So if the apostles tell us to do something, should we do it? I think so too. When I was also in Texas, they actually have a section of the Didache about how we're supposed to worship, which is where the liturgy comes from. The liturgy was set up in 60 AD. Okay. I had a very nice lady, Frances Fox, what's her name? She was the mother of one of our parishioners, very fundamentalist Baptist. But she had cancer, was living with her daughter while she was having cancer, chemo and radiation therapy. Anyway, nice lady. And always came to Bible studies, was very impressed with our church. Anyway, I had mentioned about this. After we got done, went into my office. Here's Frances following me in. She says, tell me about this worship. And I actually had the Didache up on my computer. I just hit the button, pulled it up. And I said, read it. And she said, the apostles wrote this? And I said, yes. She said, why don't we do it that way? I said, Francis, I don't know. Okay? That's why I'm always so adamant that we keep our worship in the form of the liturgy. We might not use the entire thing, but it's there. You know, and so as we do these kind of things, if the apostles tell us to do it, we do it. If the apostles tell us to use water and the word, we use water and the word. Because the apostles tell us that people can be called, converted, and born again through the word of God alone. But it's like the water reinforces it. But I think there's one but. We also need to have that grace of baptism in our lives. You know, we talk about grace a lot. Okay, by grace alone. Somebody tell me what grace means. It's one of those, okay, let me see. You know, grace is the blessings we receive from God. Okay. And so if God says to do this, we do that because it's a means of grace. And anytime we have grace, it's what we receive from God. It's not what we do. Remember, we believe that the arrows come from God to us. We don't influence God. The arrows don't come from us to God. So we receive these means of grace, whether it's water or the Lord's Supper or just the Word of God. One of the things I want to touch on, since Joyce brought it up, is the baptism of babies. Why do we do that? Well, how many of you in here had a believer's baptism? In other words, you were baptized later on. Okay. Is there anything wrong with that? No. So why do we baptize babies? Well, first of all, Acts 2 tells us that all the members of the household were baptized, including the babies. Okay? Why? Well, what does faith come from? Hearing. Can the baby hear? Does the baby understand? Not yet. But under hypnosis, we have found that later on in life, you can hypnotize a child or an adult and ask them about that, and they can tell you what was said at the time of their baptism. Do you realize that kids hear everything, and it's imprinted in their reactive mind? Let me ask you this. If you're a new Christian being baptized, do you know all the ins and outs of Christianity? No, you don't understand it. You just know it's important and you want to join the family, right? Is that any means then to deprive babies of the same thing? No, but the thing is, what does it mean when we're baptized? Well, the thing is that when we get older, we go through confirmation. Why? So that way we understand what happened to us at that baptismal font. And what do you do at the end of confirmation? You acknowledge and accept that baptism. You know, we have believers' baptism too, because it's important. What does it mean? There's that great Lutheran question, what does this mean? And that's why we try and answer that. So remember, faith comes from hearing. You don't necessarily have to understand it. You got to hear it. It's the word working through us that leads us to understanding. It's that gift of faith that's in our heart, kindled by the Holy Spirit, that leads us to understanding and belief into what we're taught. The reason I'm smiling, I was turning the page, and you know how my mind works. Anyway, I traveled with Annie, the musical Annie, for years out of New York. And there's a thing at the old radio show where the announcer is reading it, and he says, turn page, because it says it at the bottom. And so I'm sitting here trying to get the page turned, and of course it comes to my mind and says, turn the page. We are like children. As the child grows in faith and understanding, they grow closer to God. And what does Jesus tell us about it? Look at our tapestry up here. It's got Jesus with a little kid in his light. What does Jesus say? Let the little children come to me, for to such of these is the kingdom of heaven. If you've ever seen a kid come up for a blessing, that's what I say. They are not to be turned back, because they are just as important as what we are. But isn't that why we're here today? To keep that fire of Jesus' word? To keep the fire of our baptism? Notice I'm using the word fire. Okay? In us. Because if we don't, our faith will die. Jesus tells us that. So, when Jesus is finally baptized, God sends the Holy Spirit among him. Now, isn't Jesus part of the Holy Spirit? So who is that lesson for? Us. Because visibly he's blessed with the Holy Spirit. And God tells everyone that this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And one of the other gospels says, listen to him. My friends, may this celebration of the baptism of our Lord keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.